Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
Welcome to the Stock Talk podcast, where we help investors and listeners understand more about investment opportunities in the public marketplace. I'm John Brown. In the last few years, investors have taken stock of the hype surrounding the crypto rush, eager to assess the benefits of big gains. What resulted from its emergence was the adoption of blockchain assets, some of the most profitable technologies in the world. In recent times, gold has acted as a safe haven investment. The business model behind fintech 2.0 company GoldFinex strategically combines this new technology with one of the world's oldest asset classes to provide capital to the underserved artisanal gold miner industry in exchange for a share of gold production. The company's GIX crypto coin is protected by the gold accumulated in its vault and powered by blockchain. GoldFinex recently went public on the award-winning exchange Coinsbit, and today we are joined by the company's co-founder and chief operating officer, François Dumont, to speak about this unique project. Thank you for joining us today. To begin, could you give us some background on the years of work spent building this company?
Actually, funny enough, last week when we launched on the crypto exchange, most of the people thought it was like a new project, but essentially we've been 3 years in the making. We started this mid-year 2017, start working on the business model. We're marrying the old world of gold mining and then the new tech of digital currency, and the regulations surrounding digital currency we thought could be conducive to what we're trying to achieve. And after many months of iterations on the business model, the company kind of shaped in early 2018, and then basically launched the operation officially 2019. But there was 18 months prior to the official launch that was essentially building the concept, building the company, getting the old team together. Most of the executive working at GoldFinex had a past, because the company behind GoldFinex is the Atlas group of companies, and it's a private company that funded maybe like 20 companies in the past 25 years. So most of the people in there have worked together, and basically it's getting the old band back together. And then we launch essentially the operation in 2019. But last week was an important milestone for us when our cryptocurrency, our digital currency called the GIX, was traded on the Coinsbit exchange. That gives us basically, among other things, validation of the business model and what we're trying to do. But more importantly, the possibility now of selling to the institutional environment. Most of the large funds cannot invest in the crypto world until it's liquid, meaning until you're traded on the crypto exchange. So that's an interesting milestone for us from last week. So now we're gearing up for an accelerated phase in that sense. So very excited about that prospect. But like I've said, this is not the end on its own, but an important milestone. But for us, we're in there in this business model for, most of us signed up for at least 10 years in there. So a few of us will retire with this project, but we're in for the long run. But exciting time following the introduction onto the crypto exchange last week.
That is a huge milestone, a real game changer. But the COVID-19 pandemic has had a devastating impact on the global economy, but in large part, that doesn't seem to be the case for GoldFinex. Why is that, do you think?
Well, I guess maybe we're lucky, but gold mining in most countries is considered essential services. So for us, it's business as usual. We're counting on our ability that, we already have operations that is being deployed. We've started investing already in one country in Ivory Coast. We were in negotiations and finalizing certain contracts for five, six other mining operations, Canada, South America, Central America, and more in Africa. That was before the travel bans. But since then, since we've been, you know, essentially grounded, we've refocused our energy where we had operations. So part of our strategy for us was to have those five, six, seven, maybe operations within the next 12 to 18 months. At this stage, because of last month situation with this pandemic situation, we've refocused on Ivory Coast, where we have our team there. We currently have operations that is starting. We've started with two concessions, mining concessions, and what we will be doing instead of starting other countries, because we don't have the ability to travel and complete due diligence, finalize the negotiations face to face, we're going to refocus our energy onto Ivory Coast. So we're going to go and expand horizontally in Ivory Coast, and probably in the next 3 months we will have triple our concessions, and we'll be able to start operating on those new concessions probably mid-summer to early fall. So essentially, we're not going to be delayed, just that our strategy of being diversified on the geography will be delayed, but definitely the production capability on its own will be on plan, but it's only kind of come essentially from that country where we already have all the infrastructure in place, and it's easier for us to basically proceed in negotiations with the people that we have on site already. So excited about that possibility that we're not really as affected as other companies. I have friends in other industries that are like really, really depressed these days. They don't, you know, that their entire business is either shut down or severely handicapped. But for us, in between the essential services and the fact that we have operation today in a country that was not really affected by the virus, essentially our mining operation is outside of the capital in Ivory Coast and around the region called Yamoussoukro. And then in that area, there were basically just a handful of cases, and they were handled actually very promptly. So we're essentially not very affected for that matter. So we're limited on the geography, but certainly the business is not going to be impacted because of our ability to diversify across the country that we're in currently. So we're happy about that, at least.
Yeah, that does sound like a very good news for you. But even with their future regarding this pandemic, how do you see your project moving forward?
Well, depending on how long this thing is going to last, but like I've said, if we are able to essentially stay clear of the areas that are more affected by the virus, obviously the good aspect of good old gold mining, it's never in a very populous area. It's in the remote areas. Most countries consider this as essential services as well. So if we are able to at least travel, then we'll be able to focus on expansion on the geography. So today we're looking at you know, Colombia, Bolivia, Peru, and Nicaragua, for instance, and then back into Africa, in Liberia and Tanzania. So we're only waiting for the ability for us to travel, and then we'll be able to continue our expansion plan on a geography basis. But like I've said, for now, we're not really affected as we're expanding in the Ivory Coast, as I explained. And then we'll, you know, we could be busy in Ivory Coast, even if we're not able to travel and diversify the geography. We could be busy in Ivory Coast for another 2 or 3 years of expansion. The ability of our business model is whatever we raise, we allocate the money. So we invest, we capitalize new operations. So we could be basically, you know, we would be very happy just being in Ivory Coast for the next few years if the pandemic takes the a very negative turn. So for us, we would not be too much affected. It's just that, and then we have secured today, we're in negotiations to secure about 15 concessions. So we have more work ahead of us in Ivory Coast than we could probably chew right now. So worst case scenario, if the pandemic extends and we're limited on the on our diversification program in other countries, we could still refocus our energy for the next, you know, few years actually in the same country. So again, not too affected in that sense. So we don't, you know, we see the future very bright for us, regardless of the condition of the pandemic.
Yeah, it's great. I really like your business model. And I was kind of wondering if you could look a little bit into that. And just why do you think that your business plan is still so robust under these circumstances that many other companies?
Well, yeah, well, for us, I don't know if you're familiar with the crypto world, the digital currency world, but we've been able to use this new tech, this new way of raising money. And for us, there was no minimum and there's no maximum. So we've raised money in the past prior to being on the crypto exchange, and then we're still raising money on the crypto exchange. But whatever we raise, we allocate. So we today, even if we don't raise money, we have enough today to grow where we are today in Ivory Coast. So this is probably the best business model you can have today, where, you know, even if we stop raising money, the business model will grow. It's just going to grow at a lower speed, obviously, but it's still going to be growing and it's going to be sustainable. And then we could be there for years and years and years. And if we're able to raise more money, which we'll do when we're in that mode, then we just accelerate this growth plan. But the way that the business model was built in the fact that basically, we will be raising money for the next 10 years, 10, 15 years. So for us, it's only going to be dependent on our ability to raise money if we accelerate, or the pace of our growth will be dictated by our ability to raise more money. But even if we don't raise any more money, let's say the pandemic takes a downturn that is extremely negative, for us, we're still growing, but at a lower pace. So very comforting to be operating into that business model, that reference for us.
There's also a strong humanitarian side of your business that I find really interesting and quite unique. Could you speak a little bit about why it's important to you to improve the working conditions for artisanal miners?
Yeah, for us, when we started this, it was a reflection. We had a few years of frustration of trying to find ways to fund the artisanal gold miners around the world. And I have spent, I'd lived in Peru and Bolivia and got really frustrated of not being able to help, even though we had, you know, the support of the government and everything. And my partner was involved in that. And my partner was involved in other areas where, trying to raise money and trying to be involved in the trade of gold in the artisanal community. But we all realized that something has to be done. And then we discovered after that even for the large NGOs, you know, the United Nations is considering the condition of the artisanal gold miners, the 40 million plus community around the world that operates in 70 countries, takes a toll on, you know, the human condition, the environment, and certainly a missed opportunity on the economic side. You know, these guys are operating illegally. They don't have money to secure the exclusive right of the territory, a concession. they don't have money to acquire mechanical way of extracting the gold, so they're left with very primitive technology or tools that gravitates mostly around toxic chemicals, you know, the mercury and the cyanide. And then all of this changes the day that you're able to capitalize, organize them, and then fund that group, because then you allow them to make decent decision. You know, they're able to, you know, secure the rights, the exclusive rights. They will be paying the royalty to the government for the extraction. They will be paying their tax. The government will start spending money into the community, building school for the kids, not to be on the mine, but, you know, being at school, clinics, dispensaries, roads. All of a sudden, the fact that we are funding the small group of miners that don't have access to funds otherwise, because if it's not for Gold Finex and our business model, there's no way. It's impossible. The world of the traditional finance environment has never seen eye to eye with the artisanal community, and they're never going to be able to find common ground. You know, the perceptions, there are bad perceptions on both sides. So Gold Finex was able to bridge these two worlds, and there's some risk mitigation also that pleases the traditional finance environment. But essentially, at the end of the day, just by providing a very profitable business opportunity for investors, we're fixing a lot of things on the human aspect of the artisanal gold miners around the world. You know, the fact that, you know, we remove the chemicals that is no longer used because you're now using proper technology that doesn't require the use of mercury and cyanide, but also the eliminations of a lot of the violence. If you don't have the exclusive rights on that square kilometers, for instance, of extraction, you can't leave over the weekend and come back on Monday and expect that someone would not be in your, you know, in the holes and areas that you were extracting. So it creates a lot of, you know, insecurity in that environment. And then a lot of people that shouldn't be working on those mines, like kids. And we've seen a lot of, you know, pregnant women, unfortunately, spending, you know, 10 hours, 12 hours, you know, with water all the way up to the waist, and then, you know, panning into the pod. This obviously is all fixed the day that you're able to provide them with adequate funding. And this mechanism working in a sustainable way, so you don't have to refinance these guys or grant them or like give them money or conditions every year. Our business model is you fund them until they're cash flow positive, and then you follow them, and then we basically coach them, and then we're responsible for the metal that comes out of the ground. But essentially, a lot of the bad situation are fixed the day that we're able to fund these guys adequately. So for us, it was actually very important that, and it was a driving force. Sure, everybody wants to make money. There's a return on investment that is impressive, you know, very profitable. Everybody likes the financial side, but there's a very strong and very important component about the humanitarian and environmental that, you know, I'm happy to tell my kids that for once I'm involved into a business venture or operation that it actually impacts the world very favorably. So very happy, and you know, most of the people inside Gold Finex takes pride into our contribution to, I guess, the happiness of that group of, like I've said, this is a large community. There's more than 40 million people involved into the, you know, artisanal world around the world. So very pleased about that humanitarian touch that we're fostering, I guess, in our operation.
Yeah, that's something you can really be proud of.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I sleep well at night when I think about that. And most of us, you know, take pride in that. And it's funny because, you know, we were comfortable in our position when, you know, we build a business plan and then all the benefit that came after, you know, if you fund these guys correctly. But we're actually working closely with NGOs and very, very large NGOs. And we'll get into some partnership this year, which is something that we're also concurrently, in addition to the expansion plan, working on. But we were very pleased to see that there was a lot of focus and a lot of determination from the few NGO, large NGOs that we're in contact with, that they need to find a way to solve this humanitarian condition. And then we were equally happy when they realized that we have this model, we have this capability. And what is surprising is it's done in a sustainable way, because today they're acting, and then very often it's grant based and education, and it's not very sustainable in such a way that every year or every 2 years they need to come back and, you know, refix. Nothing is on autopilot. And then they like our model because they don't have to do anything, basically. They're just going to accompany us, give us more visibility. They have programs for them to help and train and coach. So we will benefit from that. But some of them might actually be able to advance. They're close to large donors. So we're now trying to see if we could fit their donors into our digital currency and, you know, have them buy our GICs, our cryptocurrency, as a mean of funding. So this is all coming together. And then we were very happy to discover that there is, you know, other people, other organizations around the world that have that same objective to, you know, something needs to be done. The status quo, leaving this going on like this, is unsustainable. Just to give you an example, we're not supposed to be eating so much fish in our diet. And that's predominantly because of the mercury accumulation in the fish. And it comes, unfortunately, predominantly from the artisanal gold mining community. And then let me remind you that the mercury is used in the remote areas, you know, the jungle, the countryside, and then the fish is in the middle of the ocean. So you see the trail of devastation. Now, all of this is fixable in a sustainable way. And they have large NGOs and organizations out there that have that mission. And then it seems that they're slowly discovering that there's a player, Goldfinex, that can effectively not only bring happiness on the investor's side with a decent and, you know, profitability and return on investment, but also in a sustainable way that, you know, this is a machine basically that starts one day, and then it's going to be functioning like this for years and years, you know, 5, 10, 15 years. So we're very happy to see that finding the organizations around the world that have the same missions, that, and then we imbricked into that same core mission, and very happy that, you know, we'll find synergies. And so this year for us is going to be, you know, an exploding years, hopefully with the different partnerships that we're working on. But like I've said, you know, very happy. Sure, everybody wants to make money, you know, and we're very satisfied with the financial returns, but there's a humanitarian aspect that is equally satisfying for us. And, you know, it makes waking up in the morning, going to work a little bit easier for us.
François Dumas, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. It was great to learn more about your company and what you've got offering.
Thanks for having us, John.
Empowering small-scale miners with a platform that is sure to be engaging for investors as an opportunity to seize a piece of a market that had previously been reserved for high-rolling traders, GoldfinX also gives miners the access and opportunity to profitable growth at the same time. All of our Stockhouse podcasts are available on Podbean, iTunes, and Google Play.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Dealroom on-site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.